You're listening to
90.7
FM
WGXC
AGRA.
Hello, listeners. My name is Rachel Ann Schulman from the Campa Hudson Radio Group. Campa Hudson Radio Program led by live interview, noble guests in the local swing countries are from the local organization and ask them what they do in their communities, what shaped their life of growing up where they are now. We also occasionally talk about sport news and other subjects and interests, such as the upcoming community events and culture happening in the area. Tune in on the fourth Sunday of every month at 3:30 in the afternoon on 90.7 FM. Past interviews are available at waveform.org. Thanks for listening and supporting the radio for an open airs at 90.7 FM WGXC. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by The Highway Drive-In, a four-screen drive-in movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. Information and schedule at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Rebecca Borland of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We hope that you can hear us because we're messing around with the soundboard. The headphones are making a funny sound, but I think we're good.
We're making green lights.
There we go.
Which to me indicates that we are hearable.
Green lights on the mixer is a go. We are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC Acro. We're here from the Catskill Station every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. Jenny and I will usually pick a theme, and then we watch movies around that theme separately, and then we get on the airwaves to talk about it and have a whole lot of fun, and we hope that you have fun listening. But before we get into tonight's theme, or lack thereof, should I say, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters in our area. And I'll start by telling you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Lilo and Stitch, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and Karate Kid Legends. You can find out more by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's WIndhamTheater.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. It does sound like that sound is coming through maybe the actual microphone, because I can hear it in the speaker, too.
I know.
Not
That's
great.
So weird.
Not ideal.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
We're figuring out some sound stuff.
Let us know if you're listening live and you have one of our phone numbers, just give us a text and let us know if you can hear the weird sound. And if you can't hear the weird sound, that would be great to
hear
it
also. We would really appreciate hearing from you.
All right. Back to the Star Cinema, the Upstate location in Rhinebeck. We have The Phoenician Scheme, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, and The Life of Chuck, And then heading over to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have The Phoenician Scheme, Pavements, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, Lilo and Stitch, Friendship, Under the Skin, Remembered, Close-Up with director Bruce Spiegel, The Vanishing, a movie which, if you've listened to our show with the theme Vanished Without a Trace, you may be familiar with.
Fans will know that we love Spoorloose.
Spoorloose. and it is the Spoorloose, not the American remake.
Yes.
Also, in Saugerties, we have Materialists and I Feel Famous, Punk Diaries 1977 through 1981 with Angela Yeager. And if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. All right. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That is the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have Ballerina, Little Angels, The Phoenician Scheme, Bring Her Back, Karate Kid Legends, Lilo and Stitch, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, Final Destination, Bloodlines, Jane Austen, Wrecked My Life, Sinners, How to Train Your Dragon, Materialists, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Fun.
That's nice. A repertory screening. All right. So if you want to check out those show times and such, you can go to spotlighttheater.com and then select the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. This weekend, we have on screen one, How to Train Your Dragon and Karate Kid Legends. On screen two, Materialists and Ballerina. On screen three, The Phoenician Scheme and Friendship. And on screen four, Lilo and Stitch and Thunderbolts. And then they also have a special event, which is on Thursday, this upcoming Thursday. They have the double feature is Pavements, the new movie by Alex Ross Perry, who will be there for a Q&A, followed by Mallrats. So if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes or any additional information, you can find out more at highwaydriveinny.com. That's HIWAYdriveinny.com.
Amazing. I know it's important to notice the difference in their web address.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's different. I usually go to their Instagram because they have more accurate information there. But
exactly. Yeah.
We're in the window in Catskill, so we get to see lots of people going by, including cute babies.
Cute babies checking out the live radio. I think it's also... Sorry. Before I get distracted, let me tell you about what's playing at Story Screen on Fairview Avenue,
yes.
Also in Hudson. So right now playing, we have Bring Her Back, Lilo and Stitch, and Friendship, as well as a slew of really fun repertory screenings, including Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Liar Liar, Big Eden, and The Wizard of Oz. You can find out more by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL in Hudson, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. This weekend, we have Stolen Kisses, Television Event, which I assume is the name of a movie, but
yes.
It's very fun. The Lovers, Friendship, and Cleo from 5 to 7. Oh, and also Caught by the Tides. They, as always, have many things going on. So if you're interested in any of those movies or their show times, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. As always, I'm so excited about all the movies that have been and all the movies that are yet to come, Jenny.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Yep. So tonight, because Jenny and I have been very busy, Jenny specifically has been not in the country. Jenny was in Zurich, Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Eating raclette.
So true.
And didn't have a lot of time to watch movies. So oftentimes when that's the case, we will just talk about what we've been watching lately. We call it a Lately's episode, and that's what's happening
that's
tonight.
That's what we're doing. I would say you've also been very busy. Amanda famously has two jobs and has been working every night for the last couple days.
But
so
you know, yeah, it's true.
It's
but
the
I'm
truth.
Also really excited to... to, you know, get into a theme for next time. Yeah. But for now, I love telling you about what I've been watching lately, especially because I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
It's nice to just catch up.
Yeah.
I know.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I can tell you about what I watched on the airplane.
Yeah. Are you going to tell me about what you watched there and back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can absolutely do that.
Set the scene for me. What day did you leave? How were you feeling?
The great news. Oh, tragically, the clicking constantly is coming through. Heartbreaking. You hate to see it. Thank you to my partner for checking in, but he can hear us and we're audible. So. Deepest apologies to those of you listening. I hope it's not miserable. I don't know what to do about it, so
I know.
Carry
do you
on.
Want to swap places really quick and I'll look at the mixer? But I don't think I'm going to do anything different.
But
let's try.
Yeah, let's try.
Hold on.
One moment.
Couple
please.
Of seconds of dead air. We're gonna go. All right. Okay, so we'll see what we can do about this here.
Let me tell you about what I watched on the way to Zurich while you play around with the board.
Yes,
how's that?
I love it.
Okay, so I went to Zurich for work last week, and I had a nice time, weird city. I flew out on a red eye on Friday, May 31st. For those of you who would like to frame me for a crime, you can't. I was on an airplane. On the way there, my job was to go to sleep so that I could work efficiently the following week. So I only watched one movie, and I knew what I was going to watch the instant I got on the airplane. I put on Paddington in Peru because I was like, this is going to make me sleepy and cozy, and I love Paddington 1 and Paddington 2. And I hear 3 is not very good, but you know what? It's fine. We're still clicking. I hear it. No. Oh, bummer, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is.
Yeah. We'll have to do some checking in. Yeah. I hear a new board is coming for us soon, so hopefully.
Maybe it's just that then.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that, just that. All right. That's huge news.
Huge news.
Paddington in Peru.
Paddington in Peru. The third in the series.
Let's talk about the series a little bit because I'm undereducated in the Paddington world, but first one made a huge splash.
Great. It's great.
Second one.
Even
maybe
bigger.
The best movie
ever
in the world,
made, perhaps.
Is
ever
what they say.
Some say. I do. I genuinely really love. I love both Paddington 1 and 2. I think they're both excellent, very, very sweet movies. 2 is better just because it's doing more, and it's like, it's such a beautiful story. And it just is so unexpected. Like, there's a lot going on. For those of you who are not familiar, Paddington is based on the series of children's books, Paddington Bear, who is a bear from Peru who finds himself in London and is picked up by a cute little family who essentially adopts him. And he's like, you know, he gets into all kinds of hijinks because he's just a little bear. He's doing his best, but
he's a little bear.
He's just a little bear. And he, you know, he's trying really hard, but he messes up a lot and it leads to fun slapstick comedy. So I'd heard that the third one wasn't as good. Chris is a little better.
Just got a little better.
But just slightly. So.
I know. I'm like, okay, maybe, can I just press these really quick?
This is like fun radio. Yeah, please press.
Can you ask him?
Yeah. Okay, I hope you're still listening. This is our partners are helping us. Chris and or Josh. No, nothing. Darn. No, don't be. This is our desire because we can also hear the clicking. So it is
I know. It's live on air problem solving.
Yeah,
that is not really working out because it's beyond our knowledge.
That's live local raw radio. You know, we're figuring it
That's
out.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So in Paddington in Peru,
it's you know, it's cute. It's not as good as the first two, which I knew going in. It's fine. It's a different director. It's directed by Duel Wilson.
Who did the first two?
Paul King. Is that true? I said that really confidently. Yeah. Let me, like, triple check that one. Yeah, it is Paul King. Who has done some other movies that I've never seen other than Wonka, which I did watch because he directed
What is it?
Wonka.
Oh, okay.
Wonka, Amanda? Don't make me say it again. Don't make me again talk
Timothy
about how...
Timothy Chalamet
Yeah,
Wonka?
Don't make me talk again about how there's that one song in Wonka that I like.
It was like, it was actually kind of good.
It was, I mean, it's like, good is like such a strong word to use. It's like kind of fun, but it's not. I don't think it's good.
Timothy Chalamet stretching his boundaries.
It's so true. Yay. I mean, the thing about we don't need to get into Wonk again. I talked about it on the air too much. But Paddington in Peru is like, I was just, while you stepped outside earlier, describing to your partner about my impression of it was kind of like an episode of a children's TV show. Like, it felt, it's like perfectly fine. But it doesn't, the first two Paddington movies both feel like movies and like, yeah, they're very satisfying and lovely and wonderful. And this really feels like just an episode of a children's TV show about, aww, Paddington, which is like in its own way perfectly fine and, yeah, like lovely, and like, you know, it's fun to watch him get into hijinks. In this edition, we add Antonio Banderas to the mix, which is fun.
That's really nice. Bless you.
excuse me. The villain, which is kind of fun. We do trade out, weirdly. Sally Hawkins plays the mom in the first two, and she simply, yeah, isn't in the third one.
Oh,
and a different woman,
no,
plays the mom, which was kind,
no,
of a bummer to me. It's Emily Mortimer, who I did recognize from some stuff.
She's in a lot of stuff.
She is in a lot of stuff.
Is she the one from Punch Drunk Love? She might be.
I think she is, yeah.
But also, kind of, like, I am a big supporter of just getting actors to play different versions of themselves, or
totally,
younger versions, because,
yeah,
I really, like, we're so well trained as an audience, mm-hmm, to be okay with that, and I'd rather have that than, like,
absolutely,
a CGI-aged or de-aged person.
Yeah. It was only distracting because...
She's so lovely.
Yeah, she's so lovely, and also, like, Sally Hawkins is kind of, like, a big part of the second movie in particular. But... So, Paddington in Peru, I don't have that much to say about it. It was great for me because I needed to watch something to get really sleepy to go to sleep on the airplane. It's really cute. Everyone does a great job. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I have,
yeah,
like, basically nothing to say
Which
about
is,
it.
You know, it's like, in the world of Paddington movies, I guess, in the world of the rest of the movies, maybe it's a great movie, but Paddington and Paddington 2 set
They're
the bar
so good,
very high.
They're so good and so sweet.
Well, so let me tell you a little
yes.
bit. So
yes.
All right. Our wonderful friend Becca, we had a plan. We've been, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to see your friends, you got to make plans.
So true.
So Becca and I made a plan to have a sleepover on Monday night. And we were texting about what to watch and movies that I haven't seen, we haven't seen, ideas. And I was like, I've never seen Paddington 2 or 1.
Uh-huh.
And Becca was like, well, I haven't seen Paddington 2. So if you watch, this was Sunday night. So Becca was like, if you watch Paddington tonight,
we can watch Paddington 2 tomorrow. Yeah.
So I watched Paddington on
Great
Sunday
movie.
Night.
So sweet.
Absolutely excellent.
So fun. Nicole Kidman, incredible.
Incredible. Everyone's doing an amazing job. It like, I mean, it does the thing that I think is incredibly appealing to crafty people, but also people, in, like, everyone in general, where there's lots of little models
yes.
of the house from Ugh. The side.
So good.
Little funny cutaways, like when they're talking about where to send Paddington the Bear, and they're like, a home for orphans.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid, like, orphans was
like,
kind of
no.
like a tragic,
yeah.
sad thing.
Totally.
And yeah, they cut away to a scene of an orphanage sign and like a dark, rainy,
yes,
lightning
God.
Filled night.
It's like so fun and funny and like
yeah.
clever.
And it has a perfect, I mean, like most of those family/kids movies should be. It's wonderful for adults. All the people in my life who love it are adults.
Yeah.
But it has all that slapstick humor that's just so fun for
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, totally.
So fun for kids. And it made me cry.
Yeah.
Also because, so as Jenny was explaining to you in the first Paddington comes from Peru after a family tragedy separates him from his aunt and uncle who've raised him in the jungle. They know how to speak English because before Paddington was born, an explorer from England visited darkest Peru and they made friends.
Yeah.
and then he leaves and goes back to London, and this explorer is kind of a hallowed figure in their family. And when Paddington has to leave his aunt who goes to the home for retired bears. Mm-hmm. And she says, Paddington, though, you should go to London because we've always wanted to go to London. And the explorer said that we'd always find a home in London. I know, I'm going to cry again.
It's literally so sweet.
England is being so bad right now.
I know.
And that's what made me sad because it's like, I mean, it is a, you know, most children's stories have morals that are, like, are important for kids, mm-hmm. but also speak to adults. And, like, yeah, it's about, the stark realization of, like, nations purporting to live off of mm-hmm. an ideal that they uphold, but then the reality, the modern reality of that not being the case. So yeah. Paddington arrives in London and finds it to actually be quite an unfriendly place until he meets the Browns.
Oh my God.
I know, who are hesitant at first, but of course when they open themselves to a new experience. I mean, it's about immigration.
it literally is. That's like, it's such a, like, the first two movies are so beautiful because they really are, like, the first one is truly about Paddington, like, finding a home in a new country.
Yeah, and our lives being richer when we invite things that are unknown to us into our lives.
Absolutely.
Which is what the Browns discover.
Yes.
yeah, so that's, it made me cry, especially just with the present world, and yeah. I was like, oh man, this is really getting me.
It's so, I know, it feels really like there's something really beautiful. I don't remember the first one as much, but I know, like, the second one has a lot of like Paddington being fully integrated into his community and like everybody serving a purpose, and like it feels so communal. And part of it is, I mean, part of it is also, no spoilers, but like he goes to prison and like does like improvement with, like it's an anti-carceral story,
yeah.
kind of, and there's just something like really, really sweet and beautiful, and like it has like kind of a utopic politics to it, which is not what you expect from your Paddington movies.
No.
Like there's just something so aspirational about his relationship to his community.
Yeah,
that's like, it's really, it feels really silly to be like, that kid's movie, and that's the world I want to live in. But, like, it is. It is. So lovely.
And that's what was making me cry.
Yeah.
Because it feels, I mean, not that it hasn't always been a struggle, and it hasn't always, the present moment hasn't always
right.
been its own version
totally.
Of bad.
Yeah.
But it feels so bad right
yeah.
now. And a country of origin for Paddington, England, is being very bad.
Messy. Naughty. But
not
in
that
a,
they haven't yeah, always been.
Right, for real.
But, like, and that's, you know, that's actually part of the message of the first one, too, is there's, it's less so, but it is, there's a strong anti-colonial mm-hmm. message there, too, because the explorer, I forget his name, like, Montgomery Clyde mm-hmm. is the name of the explorer, mm-hmm. and his daughter, who is played by Nicole Kidman, is the
oh, yeah.
villain of
yeah,
the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's the villain because Montgomery Clyde refused to bring back, quote unquote, specimens from his journey. So he refused to kill the bears that he met and stuff them and bring them mm-hmm. back to England for the museum. So he was rejected from the Explorers Club. So she's out for vengeance because from then on they were poor and they
yeah.
had a petting zoo or whatever.
Right.
And so she is an evil taxidermist.
Yeah, totally. It's such a fun idea.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. I had an amazing time.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad.
I really want to know what you guys watched instead of Paddington 2 because I can feel you walking that path.
Okay, so let me tell you. So Monday night comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Our dear friend Becca comes over and we go out for dinner. We go home. We're getting our jammies on. We're getting ready to watch a movie, like any good sleepover mm-hmm. Guests do. sleepover
guest and
partners. and we're gonna watch Paddington 2. And the other movie on the list was Bound.
Yo.
But Becca said, "I want to laugh." And she
yeah.
has also been watching a lot of movies because she works hard at sewing and weaving all day.
So true.
So she consumes a lot of media. And she recently watched all of the Twilight movies, and she was like, let's watch Twilight.
Yo.
And I said, yes.
Amazing.
I said yes to the dress.
Unbelievable journey. Unbelievable yes. journey of movies.
Yeah, you would have never.
The Paddington 2 to bound to Twilight pipeline is something that I didn't even think existed.
So, yet to still see Paddington 2, yet to still see Bound.
Maybe
seen Twilight. I thought I'd rewatched it more recently.
I haven't seen it in a while. It's time to rewatch Twilight.
Yeah. So,
also, Bound is a great pick for our next episode.
I know, which is
so
why I wanted
news.
To do
yeah.
our next episode. I tried to lead the witness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It worked. It's working. It's working.
So, 2008 Twilight.
huge year. Huge movie.
So we wasn't streaming anywhere except for Amazon Prime, but for money. So I called my mommy and said, Mommy, can we buy Twilight on, can we rent Twilight on your Amazon Prime? She said, sure, sweethearts. I miss you. I can't wait to see you.
I
said,
love you.
Thank you, Mommy.
How
I
much
love
was
you.
It? Was
she
it like
said,
$2.99?
Have a good sleepover.
Oh my God, cute.
It was $4.
Oh, okay, perfect. Not terrible at all.
No,
very
no,
easy.
Just renting
yeah.
from not Blockbuster.
Well, you know.
Eagleman.
Yeah.
But so that's like a little embarrassing, but I can't really, I don't know how to torrent good, and I don't have a VPN. So I had a great time.
I'm so glad.
Becca has been really feeling passionate about Twilight lately because
yes.
she listened to the ContraPoints YouTube
oh,
video
nice.
About it, which, I mean, like the host of that YouTube show says, there is a lot to dig out of Twilight.
Oh yeah.
Just like any like huge cultural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. There's a lot. There are a lot of depths to plumb.
Yeah.
I would argue.
For those of you who somehow have not
you were born in the last 5 years.
Yeah, you were born in the last 5 years. Don't know about Twilight. The movies are based on a book series by Stephanie Meyer, who is a Mormon housewife. And they're teen romance novels about a human girl named Bella who falls in love with a vampire boy named Edward Cullen, in the small Washington state town of Forks. So Stephanie really changed a lot of the vampire rules
yeah.
for Twilight.
Absolutely.
Which I think is something that made people really angry at the time,
yeah.
too. Because she kind of made them more romantic and more
yeah,
appealing.
Absolutely.
Like, they can be out in the sun,
mm-hmm.
but they don't like to be, because what happens when they go in the sun, Jenny?
They sparkle.
They sparkle.
It's like, it's not that the sun kills them, it's just that it gives away their secret.
Exactly.
Which is that they're very shiny.
Exactly. When you turn into a vampire, when you just get bitten, there's no, like, blood swap necessary.
Right.
that's
too...
Vampire venom. It's a mess.
Incredible.
It's the reason it's funny is because of the line readings.
I think about lines from that movie still to this day on the daily, basically. Like, you truly
we'll
all
talk
the time.
About the sparkly skin.
Yeah.
So Bella is new to Forks. She's coming to live with her dad, who's the local cop, who I hate to say
hot.
I find very sexy.
He's hot. Don't be scared.
And the Cullens are the cool, hard to reach kids in the high school. So Bella's new to town. She immediately sets her eyes on Edward, and she's like, what's his deal? Also, okay, so everyone in her high school is like, this is like the nicest high school in a teen
yeah,
movie ever.
Totally.
She shows up on the first day, and they're all like, hey, Bella, I'm so-and-so. Do
yeah.
you want to sit with us? Like,
they're
I know
friendly.
Everything about the school. Like, ask me anything.
Yeah.
It's so nice. And there's a scene where she calls her mom to catch up, and she's like, the kids at school are nice, I guess you would say. I'm
like yeah, dude, they are.
Such a jerk,
yeah.
girl. You set your eyes on this terrible dude immediately, and, anyways, whatever.
She wasn't born for this world.
But once her and Edward start getting closer, she realizes all of his unique attributes.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to put it together herself. And the first kind of famous, ridiculous scene of the movie happens where they're alone in the woods and he's like, say it out loud, say what I am. And she's like, vampire. But then when he steps into the sunlight and shows his sparkly skin, he says, this is the skin of a killer.
I think about this is the skin of a killer so much.
It's so good.
What a huge part of history that we got to live through.
It is, and it is fun revisiting it specifically for all of the bits and bobs mm-hmm. that you can glean from it now about, again, it as like a cultural giant. Mm-hmm. People were so mad because it was for girls. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and you know, people get mad about things that are for young people.
Totally. Like truly like young girl fantasy big time. And like there were definitely some valid critiques of it that I think are still absolutely valid. I myself like was really angry about Twilight at the time because I was exactly the right age to be really cynical about it.
Yes.
And also be like, it's, you know, like I think like absolutely there absolutely is some misogyny involved in Twilight to be very clear.
The Mormonism of it all. Yeah. The racism and the Mormonism of it all too, which like, you know, so famously they wait to get, spoiler alert, married to have sex for the first time. And that, that comes from Stephanie Meyer's Mormonism. But I can also see how it made it that much more accessible to a lot of people because there is an element of safety there.
Absolutely.
Even if you weren't necessarily religious and those weren't your values, mm-hmm. there was kind of...
It's very sexless. Like, it has a huge... For a teen girl fantasy, which I would argue usually should be more, like, sex-forward, like, Twilight is very sexless and, like, very safe and very, like... Like, it is absolutely catering to fantasy, which I think is, like, is important and, you know, in its own way, very beautiful.
Well, and it's full of, like, you know, you don't have to have sex to have desire.
So
and
true.
That's the best part of all romances, like, or, for like, some. Romance novels, you know,
kidding.
Like,
yeah.
It's, yeah, like, that's the excitement.
Totally. You know, it is, it's their, it's about their emotional connection.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, oh my God, Twilight.
Yeah, so that's what we watched at the sleepover, which was good to watch at the sleepover, and now I kind of want to watch the rest of them because
they're so fun.
Have maybe seen one of the sequels. I haven't seen the yucky one.
Wow. I was going to say, like, 2 and 3 are both really boring, and 4 and 5 are both really yucky.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I remember hearing about the animatronic doll mm-hmm. for the baby.
The haunted
Edward
doll.
And Bella have a baby. Tell me how that works.
Renesmee.
Her name is Renesmee.
Can I tell you, I wish I had it pulled up on my phone, but I love, one of my favorite articles on the internet was not too, like, I mean, maybe 5 or 6 years after the last Twilight movie came out, it was just, like, a piece about, so after they have a baby, she grows really, really rapidly, and so they use an animatronic doll to stand in for their child until they use, like, a kid actor, and there's a museum somewhere that owns the animatronic doll. And it's like, the article is just about how haunted it is.
It's haunted. First of all, didn't they replace it in the movie? Because everyone was like, no.
It's too creepy. It doesn't look.
This.
We can't do this.
It's
yeah.
because she's growing so fast, they like, it's like a baby, but they give it like kind of some adult features.
Yeah.
Like she's like really long hair.
Yeah. And like big lips, but like she has like a doll face.
It's so
weird.
And then, didn't the doll kind of keep coming to life like a Furby?
Yes, that's what they were saying was, like, it keeps coming to life. And then, like, the people in the museum were like, it moves around by itself. Like, sometimes it appears in a location where nobody left it.
Yeah.
And then, so they describe it as, quote, actively melting. That's the only part that I remember.
No.
Because literally the quote, actively melting, just, like, burrowed into my brain. And I think about it all the time. That was the other thing. The reason why they were like, we think she moves around by herself is because she has like little white socks on and they will like appear dirty in the morning.
No, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah. The Renesmee doll, haunted, unbelievably haunted.
Oh my God.
It's moving on its own.
I haven't. Melting and moving on its own.
That's an article from like 7 years ago, so I really need to look into it and see where she is now.
I know, we should
how
check
melted
that
she is.
Is that something we missed out on in LA?
Oh, that's a really good question. I know, I don't remember. This was like it was like a Yahoo News article from like,
I remember.
You know, like 2018 or something.
I don't deserve to see the Renesmee doll until I see the movie.
It's so true. I mean, they're so gross. The last two movies are so gross.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much to say about Twilight.
Yeah.
And also not enough time right now to say it.
Yeah. One of these days we probably should do just a straight up and down Twilight
episode.
We
should, because there is so much to delve.
There's
like
a lot to unpack.
There's so much and so little to delve into. Like, in some ways it is very simple.
Yeah.
But
many people have already said what there is to say about Twilight.
They
but
have. And I guess that would be my recommendation for listeners too, is like, you don't have to watch the movies. If you know a little bit about them, just enjoy listening to something like that ContraPoints YouTube or any
watch
of
that.
The
it
many podcasts about it, because there's a lot to pick apart about the historically the way like what women read or things that are targeted toward women are picked apart.
Yeah,
and like,
absolutely.
What is deemed safe for girls or, you know, or
yeah,
not.
Totally.
Yeah, there's a lot to say.
It's fascinating. And I also think like we lived through the period where it was like extremely talked about, and now we are kind of in the lull where, like, you know, a lot of time has passed.
Yeah,
we haven't really been thinking about Twilight for a while. It's time to revisit. Let's go back. What's going on over there?
Exactly. I feel like there was a time not that long, like maybe a couple years ago, where I tried to rewatch it because I thought it'd be fun, and I couldn't just because I was like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
And so last night I was really ready. It felt great.
It's also really nice, like, when you are thinking about rewatching a movie like that, and you're like, let me watch it with somebody, so we are, like, it's not the, it's one of those.
I can't watch it alone.
Sometimes you throw on a movie, and you're like, I feel embarrassed to be watching this by myself. I need to watch it with somebody else.
That's an excellent point, Jenny, because that's exactly right. Like, Becca watched all of them while she was working.
Yeah, totally, which is different.
That doesn't
count.
So, I think we might have to watch all of the Twilights together.
That's okay. I can come over.
Okay.
That sounds great. I genuinely really enjoy watching them, except 2 and 3 are really boring.
Yeah.
I can't stress enough.
Well, we can work on something. We can do a craft.
Totally. Although I think 2 is maybe the one that has the quote, Bella, where the hell have you been, Loca?
Yeah.
just
I know.
Another thing I think about all the time.
Also, when they came out when I was a kid, I didn't think Taylor Lautner was cute.
No.
But then in the first movie, I'm like,
he's cute. That's when he has his long hair, right?
Yeah, he has his long hair.
He's cute with his long hair. He's really done dirty by those movies, in my opinion. And novels.
Hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely.
Yeah.
Poor Taylor Lautner.
Poor Taylor Lautner. Poor Jacob.
I know.
Terrible. What bizarre. What a bizarre time.
I know.
Twilight.
All right.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the other movie I watched
Please.
On the plane. I only watched 2 movies because I watched one on the way there and then I watched one on the way home.
I mean, I have more to tell you about, so.
I mean, I watched a movie last night that wasn't on the plane, but it definitely could have been a plane movie.
Ooh, okay.
But let me start with the movie that I actually watched on the plane. As you may remember from the last time Amanda and I flew and talked about movies we watched on the plane, I really like a legal drama,
yes.
A very talky, very like we're shuffling papers around. There's a montage where we're looking for information.
Yes.
With that in mind, I was scrolling through my selection on Swiss Air.
I was going to say what airline, but okay, got you.
Swiss Air. Go straight to the source. I watched A Few Good Men from 1992. Nor had I. It was great. I watched it because avid listeners know we're kind of on a Tom Cruise thing right now from Mission Impossible.
Yep.
And I saw his little face.
I think about him every day.
Yep. I saw his little face and I said, don't mind if I do.
Yep.
It's from 1992. It's directed by Rob Reiner. The man has range.
Yeah.
Director of such films as The Princess Bride and When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Misery, the big one.
Rob
Stand
Reiner
by Me,
is the bomb.
Spinal Tap.
He plays the fake documentarian in Spinal Tap.
Yes, he's very good. A Few Good Men is like a pretty famous movie. I knew about it, but I kind of didn't remember anything about it when I started it. I was just like, it's a military movie. There's law. Demi Moore is here. Tom Cruise is here. Fine. Great. That's enough for
me. That's all I need.
That's all I need.
Good, good, good.
Unbelievably star-studded cast. Who else is in this movie? Jack
who
Nicholson.
Else? Oh.
Who does, like, the famous speech at the end, which I forgot about. This is the movie that has the famous speech that's, you can't handle the truth. Oh.
It's got that one. Which I I did not remember until it happens in the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Wait,
and I was
you had seen this before?
No, I had never seen it. Yeah. I just like it's one of those like it's a cultural zeitgeist movie, so it's like I'm aware of A Few Good Men, but had never
You can't handle the truth.
It also has Kevin Bacon in it. It also has James from Twin Peaks in it.
Whoa.
It also has Noah Wiley in it from ER.
Whoa.
Everybody's in this movie. Kiefer Sutherland is in this movie.
Dang.
It's crazy. It was, like, really thrilling seeing all of my friends appear one by one. But the story of A Few Good Men is...
Like, who are these titular good men?
These good men. I'm here to say I don't think they're very good men. Yeah. That's my main critique of the movie, but we'll get to that. It's about, so Tom Cruise and Demi Moore both play lawyers in the Navy, and a case is brought to them that is basically two Marines who are stationed at Guantanamo Bay, who are young, like they're kind of intended to be like either young 20s or late teens, are implicated in the murder of a fellow Marine. And essentially, the case is this Marine who's murdered was being hazed as part of a, like, internal process that the Marines do called a Code Red, where if somebody isn't working out according to the core values of the Marines, they're, like, internally punished by their peers in order to kind of, like, get them on the right path. But this one went too far, and these two boys killed their, you know, comrade. That's not the right word, because they're Marines.
Yikes. Fellow private?
Fellow private, yeah. And so Tom Cruise is brought in because he's, like, kind of the, like, he's kind of, like, the...
The star
lawyer. He's a bit of a maverick,
Jenny.
He's a good lawyer, but he doesn't play by the rules. And he comes in, he's brought in by Demi Moore to defend the two young guys who have committed this crime. This movie is fascinating because it's like really well made. Like it is so compelling. Tragically, it's written by Aaron Sorkin, and you can really tell because
what's the deal with Aaron Sorkin?
He's like the West Wing guy.
Oh,
like he is like he's very quippy. I feel like the current I feel walk and talk. I feel like the current kind of quippy world we live in was partially shaped by him, and like he is an excellent writer in the sense of like putting people in the right places to have good conversations, but he's like a real like one-liner guy.
Yeah.
He's also kind of a misogynist, so like he's got some like there's some nasty lines in this movie that I really didn't like. And I was like, ooh, that's the Aaron Sorkin jumping out.
Yeah.
But that being said, it is based on a play that he wrote, and it really feels like it because all of the characters are really interesting, and it does kind of live in this interesting, nuanced world where Tom Cruise's character, whose name is Kathy, I think, and Demi Moore are, like, kind of at odds with each other because Demi Moore, like, really plays by the rules, but she also... It's, like, this interesting contrast where, like, she plays by the rules, but she also, like, wants to make sure, like, quote-unquote justice is being done, and Tom Cruise is, like, kind of a bad boy, but he also, like, doesn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's, like, this interesting, like, they have this interesting tension between the two of them. But the case, my, like, main issue with this movie is that, like, the case is not that interesting. Mm-hmm. Or rather it is, but, like, I don't feel like it's actually a moral gray area, which is what they want me to believe.
Yeah,
like, they want
like,
me...
No, this isn't gray area at all.
No.
Someone was killed.
Someone was killed. And it's, like, very much... Like, the argument, which is true, is that, you know, these kids, these Marines, are trained from day one to follow orders at all costs. Like, no matter what. And they were following orders. But, like, famously not a good excuse for anything. And so it just has this weird, like, I don't know. Like,
Is it trying to comment on that at all? Like,
it's unclear.
That, like, the larger problem is...
Like, in some ways, yes. Because the ultimate... Like, yes, because the ultimate villain of the movie is Jack Nicholson, who is their superior.
Okay.
Who is, like, the person who has given this order. And, like,
it is apparent. What I learned from reading the Wikipedia page on my lunch break is that this movie was like hugely controversial. Like the military hated it, and like they do not play it on bases because it like shows the Marines in a bad light because they beat each other up and it's like very bad. But I don't know. There's something interesting because it. I'm gonna spoil part of it, which is that like you know, Tom Cruise and Demi Moore like successfully get. I mean, this is the whole like Tom Cruise successfully gets Jack Nicholson to admit to giving this order, which is the whole kind of crux of the issue. Is that the defense is trying to prove that the Marines were just acting on orders and not not intentionally trying to kill their why can't I think of like their
compadre?
Their compadre, yeah, their fellow Marine.
Yeah, their fellow. Marine,
but instead, and instead that they were actually following an order from their superior, and so like Tom Cruise gets Jack Nicholson on the stand and like riles him up and gets him to admit to it because like Jack Nicholson believes that the order was the correct thing to give.
Yeah,
and so it's like that is the victory of it.
Yeah,
is that like.
Admitting that it's effed up.
Right, exactly. That the system is wrong. And that, like, having this system of, like, internal hazing in order to, like, get people to straighten up is bad. But it's, like, it frames it as a victory. And it's, like, well, the guy still died.
Yeah,
and, like,
there's a lot more to go.
Like, it
there.
Has this weird... I mean, like, Aaron Sorkin, I think, does have this complicated relationship with the United States government. Where, like, he's really, like, it's about the dignity of the state. Uh-huh. And it feels very much like when it's directed towards the military, like I don't like it when it's directed towards the country either, but yeah, like when but it's directed towards the military it feels much worse.
Yeah,
where you're like, well, I don't actually think that there is any dignity
still
in
like
that at all,
playing within the system, or like with, yeah, with still a certain pride in how the system,
yeah, should work.
Work
exactly. Quote, which like obviously is like a me problem. but it was just, it was interesting to watch it and be like, I think this is propaganda. I think this might be propaganda. I'm scared. But that being said, everyone in this movie is cooking. Like, everyone is doing such a good job. Like, it's unbelievably well directed. The acting is incredible. Like, I loved Demi Moore and Tom Cruise's relationship in it. Like, it's not romantic, really. It's just, like, they have this kind of mutual a mutual respect that comes out throughout the course of the movie that's, like, really lovely. And yeah, like some of the one-liners really a bummer, but like a lot of the speeches really work, and like all of the legal stuff really works for me. Like I love people shuffling papers. I love people staying up late studying to figure
like
out the scheme,
finding that one piece,
yeah,
of information,
yes,
in the
getting
archives.
The evidence. Yeah.
God, I
so
love it. It is really just the best kind of plain.
It's
movie.
Such good plain fodder. I had a great
they, like,
time watching a few.
When they
men.
Go in the field to like track down the family member.
Delightful. It's so good.
Where it's like, I mean, it's
no,
just
do.
A toe in political thriller. Like, it's not at all.
No, but it is. I mean, it's like, it's military thriller. Like, it has the same, because it's like, they're in real danger. Like,
yeah,
they are very much like, it's a different kind of danger than
you're
a Michael Clayton.
Secrets.
Where nobody's necessarily going to get murdered, but like, something bad is going to happen,
yeah,
to them. Like, there is absolutely the threat of either of them losing their careers.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the, that's their big thing that they're dealing with. Lots of like running out into the rain and being like, I'm going to put him on the stand. And
yes,
it's like, God, I'm living. I love it.
I love this.
I love this. So that's what I watched on the plane. I had such a night time.
Last
night I watched The Accountant, which I thought was very stupid.
Okay. Listen.
Yeah.
I also have seen The Accountant. I've not seen The Accountant,
mm-hmm,
too. I'm with you.
The Accountant is so dumb.
I thought it was, I feel bad saying it. I okay, listen. I was entertained just fine.
Totally.
It's taken itself too seriously.
It's taking itself so seriously, but it's,
you
just
know,
a movie
like,
that's like, what if autism was a superpower? It's so stupid.
What if? Yeah, it's just, it could be so much, like, okay, thinking about what we're talking about, right, where it's like, he is discovering, not unlike Michael Clayton,
mm-hmm,
another great plane movie,
mm-hmm,
legal drama, where he is the accountant, the titular
accountant. And they do call him the accountant quite a bit.
Yep. He's discovering some baddies in the higher ups in the company, right? You know, I don't know.
I gotta be so honest with you. I watched this movie literally last night, and part of my complaint with it, which I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. The stuff that he's uncovering, kind of irrelevant. And, like, I don't understand it, and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is, like, it doesn't know which to ride. Where it's like, do I want to just be an action movie with lots of guns? Mm-hmm. And what's his face? Who was the Punisher?
John Bernthal, yeah.
John Bernthal.
Yeah, he is hot.
I know, but, so, do I want to just be an action movie with John Bernthal? And, like, we're assassin brothers, mm-hmm. or do I want to be,
an accountant thriller?
Yeah, like
an accounting thriller.
Like, so dedicated to doing the job right that, like, I can suss out when someone's been, like, skimming from the top in the big company, whatever.
It doesn't know. That's the thing. Can we talk about the accountant for a minute? I mean, we are. We're doing it. We're literally doing it.
I want you to speak on it.
Okay, so The Accountant, a movie from 2016. Yeah. The sequel just came out. That's why.
I had no idea it was that old.
Yeah, I looked it up because I was like, whoa.
I didn't know about The Accountant until The Accountant 2 came out.
Me neither. I simply had never heard of it. The Accountant, a movie from 2016, starring Ben Affleck as a man on the autism spectrum who is also an accountant, both for regular people, but also for big dark money, where he goes and helps people uncook their books for legal reasons. And it is this very bizarre combination of, like, he is embroiled in, or, like, he's hired to figure out some crime that's happening in a robotics company, but he also has a history of working with, like, lots of big, scary clients, but also, as a child, for some reason, he and his brother were trained by their father to be, like, assassins, essentially.
Like, they have, like, a kung fu master.
That's when it lost me. Because, like, the beginning half of the movie, you don't see that for kind of a while. It's, like, it's just about them. Like, he is, you know, he has autism and he, like, struggles with it as a child. His family is offered a place in this school where he could be taught by, like, a guy who is, like, well-equipped to handle it. But his father refuses because he's, like,
He has to learn. It's like Temple Grandin's mom.
Exactly. He's, like, the world is overstimulating. That's the only way he'll learn. And so he, like, refuses to enroll him in this school. And then, of course, later his mother leaves because she's overwhelmed because the dad seems like a real jerk.
Yeah, a real POS.
And so, like, that's kind of all we know of his history at the beginning. We learn about his work as a dark accountant, as a serious
dark accountant.
And then, randomly, like, halfway through the movie, there's this flashback to him and his brother being trained by, like, a kung fu master.
And the kung fu master is, like, taking pity on these boys because their horrible dad is like, keep going.
Again.
Yeah, it's so
goofy.
Like, that part almost feels like a Marvel movie.
Yes, it does.
Or something.
Well, there's
elements of our main character who is, an adult living with autism. Like, there's elements that are almost interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he has a routine that he does every day where he kind of, like, he plays really loud music and he plays a strobe and he, like, pushes on his shin with a rod.
For some reason.
I know.
It's really unclear. He's strengthening his shins.
Yeah, there's just, like, moments that, like, kind of seem interesting as, like, a character in this kind of movie that I've never seen.
Yeah.
But then just, like, pace and tone wise,
insane.
Rather boring.
It's so boring. I was literally, there were so many times during that movie where I was like, I'm so bored. What's happening?
I kind of wanted to be more like a superhero movie. Well, like, I would rather it be like a little.
Yeah, I felt so frustrated by it because, yeah, even, like, the superhero stuff felt so out of place to me that I was like, what's happening? And then when he's finally accounting, you're like, this is enthralling. He, like, writes a bunch of numbers on a big whiteboard and then, like, around the window because he's just, Yeah. He's got so much to write, and I don't know what he's doing, and it doesn't matter because that's interesting. I want to see a montage of you flipping through papers.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, like, it's tonally so... what's the word I'm looking for? Contradictory.
Yes.
Where it's like, it is, like, there's the, it has this, like, weird, it wants to be this, like, intense drama about this, like, international cabal of criminals, but then it has, like, weird comedy, and then it has this weird, yeah,
action,
like, superhero, like, origin story. It just, like, doesn't make any sense. I was like, this movie is so stupid.
That's what,
like,
I mean.
The,
it's
dumbest,
like, if it
movie
chose
I've ever
one,
seen.
Like, if I was watching the action movie version of it,
yeah,
and it was just distilling
totally
to that,
that'd be fine.
I would have been like, this
great.
Isn't great, but it's fine.
Yeah, I'm having
or
a totally
was,
fine
yeah,
time.
Like, the, like, math mega genius, like,
that's
discovery,
what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Would have been so fun.
The combination, absolutely wild.
I'm an accountant fan. I'm like, I feel, like, kind of lonely about it.
I'm here to say you're not alone. it's funny because I was looking for something to watch last night, and, like, I thought about watching, like, The Accountant 2 was on the plane, and I was like, I kind of want to watch this, but I have to watch the first one first. And so last night when I was looking for a movie to watch, I was like, man, I almost watched The Accountant 2, but I have to watch The Accountant 1. And Josh was like, you're not going to like it. And I was like, but I want to watch it anyway. So I put it on, and then when it got to the end, I was like, I really should have listened to you. I'm so sorry.
That is exactly why I watched. That's exactly why I watched The Accountant 1, because 2 came out when we were, as you know,
mm-hmm,
not too long ago in LA, and everyone was talking about it. Everyone was loving.
People do like to more. I think it maybe has. I think it maybe it leans into the action genre more.
I think so.
Here, there's less accounting in it.
You're definitely not gonna like that.
I'm not gonna like that. I want to watch a movie about accounting.
you came for the accounting.
I did. I mean,
it is the most fun part. And actually, you know, speaking of Twilight, Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
Who's in Twilight.
Really weird casting for the accountant, in my opinion.
I'm actually into it. That part I'm into. I actually think that their vibe and their relationship is kind of the most endearing part of the movie.
It's cute. I like it, too. I like their relationship a lot. I just found when she showed up, I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's just so bizarre. Like, her character doesn't really make any sense. Like, she's poor, but she's the financial person for a robotics company. Like, doesn't... Makes sense. And then, like, there's the other woman who's in it who also has, like, no reason to be there, kind of, except she's, like, she's hired by J.K. Simmons to investigate Ben Affleck's character, but like, she has to figure out who Ben Affleck is.
That whole
but at the end,
like, so
J.K. Simmons is like, I always knew who he was. So it's like, what was the whole point of that? There was no point to this at
it's
all.
So...
It's just, maybe.
I feel like it's trying to, like, bring a Christopher Nolan Batman seriousness,
yes,
almost, where,
yes,
it's like, yeah, this is a crazy, unrealistic story, but, like, you know, what if it's
what if
real?
It was real? And it's like, it's not.
It's so stale.
It's so
that
stale.
That woman who, that you're talking about, who's investigating, she's very beautiful.
She's so beautiful.
She has absolutely no energy.
She has nothing to do,
it
also.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I was, like, rooting against her. Like, it was so
too
crazy. I was like, oh,
she
my
has,
God.
She has no character.
Yeah.
There's no character.
It's absolutely wild.
Yeah, like, all we learned about her is, like, she's got a bad past, and so she's being blackmailed into doing this job.
Right.
And, but she's so flat. Like, or, like,
it feels
she
so it feels so nasty. I really... didn't care for the accountant.
Nasty.
I didn't care for the accountant. Well, it is like a murderer's row of, like, famous bald dudes, though. Like, we got John Lithgow, we got J.K. Simmons, we got Andy Umberger, who I thought at first was Ed Harris, but it's not Ed Harris. Oh, Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
Every, like, famous old white dude who's bald is in them.
I just, and, like, everything was gray.
It's
there
gray
was no color in it. It was...
We're down on the accountant. Sorry, accountant
anyways,
heads.
You heard
anyway,
it here first, folks.
First
this has
lights
been Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, and neither Jenny nor Amanda are fans of The Accountant. Will I watch The Accountant 2 someday on
probably
a sleepy day? Probably.
Yeah, definitely.
More than likely,
I kind of
yes
still want to.
Yeah, maybe tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyways, our time is up. It's
thank
been
you for
a pleasure,
listening,
and we will see you next time.